وبجانتي الغندس كان عندنا شلقة تبشرين ويتمدين وفرسنا الشيطان داي شكش الشيطان دفبلي تنان دشير ويتقراد هارشبا شارق أورا بكت بينا هري كشن هري كشن 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 هري 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 رام هري رام 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 هري هري. Excuse me if this is going to be quite spontaneous, but myself and the origin Swami Maharaj would be in the living through, well, I did do a little less, 3 weeks of meetings. So not thinking seems like a holiday right now, not concentrating. So I'll just let things flow after that very interesting introduction that Devaki Devi gave. I'll see how I can follow up on this theme. Well, starting with Vaikuntha children, and then actually what it actually requires with the global input, period, using the word village, in that sense, a holistic input in order to actually raise them. And, well, she never had children, I never had children, and I'm a sannyasi on top of that. But I have specific experience, more recent experience in Hungary, both greater in the Hungarian Yatra and more specifically in our farm community in Rotterdam, where we have, well, probably as I'm saying it, the population has increased, but we have around 20 plus children, and age 15 on down to babies. Actually, I think three the babies this morning. And I tried to be, although it really wasn't my plan when I first took sannyas, that my life was going to be intertwined with grihasthas, and then later I realized grihasthas meant children. But that's Srila Prabhupada's plan, because that's the greater plan of spreading Krishna consciousness. And as Devaki cited this Bangladeshi Brahmachari, similarly, it was either one of the sociologists studying a Krishna consciousness movement, an academic. He pointed out that the real success or the test of the movement will be not particularly how we keep bringing in people of, well, in the same way that I came in, late teens, early 20s, out of a very materialistic environment, but the success of ISKCON will really be judged by how we can actually pass on our tradition to successive generations of children. I'm not going to talk about the relative merits of the success that we've had in that. There is success, and there's also a lot of lessons that we've learned by what not to do. So unfortunately, both of these things are there, what to do and what not to do. And hopefully our percentage rate will be higher as time goes on in terms of passing on the mission of our Krishna consciousness movement to the next generations. It's unfortunately not a constitutional principle that I necessarily find with the parents. In other words, the parents don't necessarily think that their children should go through what they went through, because some of the things they went through were quite austere. And it's not always the view of parents that their children should also go through similar austerity. And of course, one of the reasons why Srila Prabhupada introduced his ashram gurukul system, not the school or the educational aspect, but also the living aspect, was particularly because the principle is, I won't use the word theory, but the principle is that children at a certain age learn other things from brahmacharis or from teachers that they don't necessarily learn from their parents. Because the parents are not very inclined to have children take cold shower. I remember being on traveling Sankirtan in Dallas, Texas, and that was in 1975 or 76. We were waiting for Srila Prabhupada to come. He just came there, and I was in Montreal at that time, so we went to somewhere warmer for the winter. And I'd heard this thing where Srila Prabhupada said that for children it's fun when they take a cold shower. As an adult, well, I wouldn't call it fun, but it was certainly invigorating. And we did it at a certain stage, or at the beginning stage in Krishna consciousness, where there was only one faucet, even if coincidentally there happened to be two faucets in the shower room. The temple president would make sure that the hot water didn't work, so the only one that worked was the cold one. Or if for some reason you did manage, or some way you managed to get a hot shower, you may find yourself not welcome in the temple. Anyway, that's the way it was. And so when we were in Dallas Temple, the boys, they got up in the morning and they took a shower in the same, and this was at the same time when this was the Dallas Guru Kula. And they took shower with the brahmacharis. It's an institutional shower, so there was a lot of shower. We were inching into the regular shower. They had a hose, like a fireman's hose, and they were playing in the morning. I didn't venture in front of the firemen, so, but it was cold water, and they were having a good time. I don't think any parent is going to turn a cold fireman's hose on their son, 6, 7, 8-year-old, 10-year-old children. But in an ashram, that happens. And along with many other things, that children will be more inclined to learn from someone else who they're not so familiar with. Anyway, back to, at least I want to start with Vaikuntha children. How many of our children actually come from Vaikuntha? I don't know, I don't have the vision to see. But it's a fact that our children are different, very, very different. In New Rajadam, in Krishna Valley, it's a government accredited school, so that means that the the inspectors come to actually inspect the children and to see how the education is going on. And whatever they may think about how the children are dressed and how they're obviously brought up with a different lifestyle, they don't watch TV, what to speak of TV, there's not even electricity, so there's nothing for them to plug into. But at the same time, they always marvel at how smart they are, how well they speak, and how mature they are, and how they have actually a mind of their own. They can think, they can communicate, because for one of the reasons is that, well, TV's now passe, now it's internet, and what to speak of other games, that they haven't actually been poisoned or programmed, brainwashed by all of these things. They see that they're special, extremely special. And another example I'd like to give in terms of raising or interacting with the children in Budapest, where we have another school. And I call it school, it's more of a school than Gurukul, but it's also actually sort of Gurukul standard, both in the nursery and the school. We have one of our brahmacharis who's sort of the best Sankirtan devotee. His name is Mohan. He's about the size of a 10-year-old. So he's quite small. Therefore, he relates very well to the children. And he teaches them. He teaches them book distribution philosophy. He inspires them. And he takes them out. He takes them out on Sankirtan. He takes them out during the year. And then, of course, they also go out on the marathon. The influence or the effect of that is that by this type of interaction, by learning from someone else other than the parents, and inspiring the children to do something, well, in this case, the parents are inspired, and they also inspire the children. Children become extremely, then become not only adept, but they become inspired. They start to actually see, this is Srila Prabhupada's mission, and this is also my mission. Of course, we've heard that from a lot of young children, that at a certain age, someone wants to be a Hatpajari, someone wants to be a Sankirtan devotee, I'm waiting for someone to become a GBC, someone wants to become a temple president, and when they grow up, it doesn't necessarily transpire in the same way, but certainly they have this mood, and if that mood is really nurtured not just by the parents, and certainly that element has to be there, but by the community and by the school. So really, in my experience, I see that it's a triangle, or at least these three main influences within a village, or in Budapest, it's not a village, it's a city. School, their environment, the devotional environment, which means the temple, the other devotees, the other interaction that they have, and it's a home. And if all of these things, all of these three areas give the same message, they're reading from the same script, and they're singing the same song, then it becomes a real reinforcement for children, that where is it that we actually want to go? Do I want to become a professional, the third billion computer programmer of this planet, or some other professional in the outside world? Or as Srila Prabhupada had hoped, that will they become actually creatures? Will they inherit and take responsibility for the Krishna consciousness movement? Because they do have qualifications, they do have adhikar that we don't have, and that others who will continue to join the movement don't have. They have good samskaras. They have Krishna consciousness since birth. Their parents are devotees. And that advantage, if actually we capitalize on that advantage from all points of view, then it's a fact. We could have what, who was it? Wilson, who's the president?
Hoover.
How can I forget? You know, so Hoover. In England, Hoover is the vacuum cleaner. It's an interesting phenomenon that they have in England. They sort of name items after people, like a ballpoint pen is called a biro, because it was happened to be invented by a Hungarian whose name was Biro. So they call it a biro. And the Hoover, main brand is vacuum cleaner, is a Hoover, so instead of calling it a vacuum cleaner, it's a Hoover. Anyway, back to the children. And if we actually succeed in having that type of wave training devotees, and personally as a sannyasi, as a GBC, as someone who came in contact with Krishna consciousness when I was about 18, 19, and moved into a temple when I was 24, I gave my life. I'm looking also for others to give their life. To give their life full time, to really take this mission beyond its current bounds, beyond its current boundaries. And as Srila Prabhupada would say, and their children's children, by mantra, then they'll light fire. So why? Because they'll actually be so pure. But that purity comes through samskara. It won't come. It comes by a pure devotee who lives a pure life, his children who lives pure life, and we start to cultivate a generations of children who develop qualities of Yudhisthira Maharajas or Ambarish Maharaj or pure Brahmanas, real, pure, well-defined qualities, persons who have extraordinary power and shakti, be it brahminical or leadership or being able to generate funds. In any case, that being not only being devotees, but they also have very extraordinary guna karma vipadasha, well-defined qualities, because in Kali Yuga, everyone's nature is extremely mixed, is extremely confused. Are they Vaikuntha children? I just have one anecdote. Our national secretary's son, his name is Venugopal. And not this year, but last year, he and his friend is called Advaita. They go out together on Sankirtan during the marathon. They go out for 2 hours. And of course they're accompanied by their parents or teacher. And of course the little children. How old is Venu? 11. So that was 10 years old. It was last year. Maybe it was the year before. It was 9 years old. Anyway, they're distributing, and of course, for children to do book distribution, it's easy. They're getting the type of results that our devotees don't get in a whole day, in 2 hours. So I told them, enjoy it, because when you grow up, it's not going to be so easy. People aren't going to, you know, it's not easy to say no to a child or to speak when a little child comes up to you and tries to stop you. So 99% of the people are favorable, but there was this one lady who came up and said, what are you doing here? You shouldn't be out here. You should be at home, playing, just standing out here in the cold, selling these books. So anyway, this boy said, no. He says, Krishna sent me here to sell these books. And that's why I'm here selling them. So they're Vaikuntha children. No doubt some of them came from different planets beyond this place. They're certainly special by all means. And people really recognize it. This other boy who's with him, Advaita, he's a little older. And when he talks, people think he's a dwarf, because he talks like an adult, and they become so impressed, and they just become overwhelmed. So that shakti, that potency, is actually there, and it's actually the responsibility not just of the parents, but the whole Krishna consciousness movement and these elements of the Krishna consciousness movement, to actually allow these children to live the full potential which they have. If they get the wrong association, then anyway, we know what can happen then. And not just, where are Srila Prabhupada's sons? But one of them actually tried to kidnap this movement, legally speaking. And only one of them is Vrindavan Day, who the devotees were here for the 50th celebration. He spoke there. He's one who is actually a devotee. But even Krishna, even Lord Varaha's son, even Bhomasura turned out to be a demon by that association. But association is such a powerful thing. If they get good association, they turn out well. If they get bad association, then they can go bad. There's very few children who will be like Prahlad Maharaj and will be able to resist all other negative association and even convert all of the demoniac children around them, or non-devoted children around them. So to actually raise children, from my perspective, and I've seen it in New Rajadam, we're trying to be very conscious that it's not just the teacher's business, it's not just the parents' business, it's everybody's business, including actually the community, which means the children really need to be given opportunity. They are something very, very special. And they have a very extraordinary opportunity. We should not deny them that opportunity. Neither the devotees in general, by giving them what they actually can give. I have, for instance, I have my assistant, Shyam Bihari. He's sort of quite magical when it comes to children. I have some of the older boys come in the Krishna Valley, stay with us. We have a house that we stay in, and he's the one who sort of looks after them, and I'm the one who sort of sees and talks to them and so on. And I've seen how young men can train. We had one example of one devotee who was a very young brother of one of our full-time devotees. And he was going to school. Then he went to high school or college just nearby Krishna Valley. So I told him, move into the Brahmachari Ashram. And the temple allowed him to stay in the Brahmachari Ashram. It was sort of a little lonely over there, so I actually had him move in with us. And he stayed there. By good association, he's now book distributor, Sankirtan devotee. He was going out to become a professional. He had some kind of vision of what he wanted to do. But based on having that type of association, that same peer association, actually more than peer, there's a senior brahmachari, someone else who was teaching him all of the basics of what ashram life is, temple life. I'm talking about ashram meaning like Gurukul ashram life, and then temple life. He became very inspired, and then of his own, that's what he's doing. He's traveling, I can't say everywhere that he's traveling, because sometimes Hungary is too small a place for all of our Sankirtan devotees, so they go elsewhere. But he travels, distributes books, and he's been doing it for 2 years, and he's deriving a real taste. And he's also starting to think, yes, this is actually my responsibility. Prabhupada's movement is my responsibility. It's not some old man's responsibility, who's Prabhupada's disciple, but it's everyone's. And we need to try to take it to where Srila Prabhupada wanted it to go. I'm going on 22 minutes. I have 25 minutes. So it's a real responsibility. Everyone has something to contribute. I travel. I'm trying to decrease my travels, but even then, I'm at quite a distance. But I try to be involved. 2 years ago, I brought all of our older children to India. I took them to Puri, Mayapur, and Shridam Vrindavan for 3 weeks so that they could actually get the first experience of what it meant to be in the Dham, to be in India. I tried it to be my contribution to their upbringing, and I was able to then spend just real quality time with them, morning program, evening program, going on Padakram, and so on. And it's a contribution that I find even sannyasis could give. Our relationship has developed, and it's become very, I don't correspond with anybody, more or less. I correspond, but through regular mail, post. But email, I only do my GBC service on email, that's already enough. But for the Gurukul children, I tell them to write me anytime that they want, and we interact regularly via email. I find that it's ultimately my responsibility, and I see how they actually respond. The closer that we get, the more that we try to give to them, they really need that type of interaction. And we're here in the old, I used to actually have a myself and Govinda Swami Maharaj slept in a mud hut right here where this tent is presently situated, and this used to be the Gurukula, which boys Gurukula, which is now moved over a little further along. Ideally, and Srila Prabhupada states this, Bhagavatam states it, Krishna says it, Narada Muni states it, those of the three higher varnas, they must attend Gurukula and get that type of Gurukula training. Now, in ISKCON, that is rare. It happens here, and I don't know if anywhere else in the ISKCON Gurukul world that happens in such a structured, organized way or at all. In Hungary, I didn't take the responsibility for that, knowing what the background was. But it's a fact that children will miss a certain type of training when they don't have this type of ashram training. It's not the same. It's not the same type of education that they get. Of course, the culture is something that they imbibe, and also certain other principles like austerity, simplicity, and so on. How do you get that at home if you're not going to get it in an ashram situation? Somehow or another, parents need to be aware of that, as well as the rest of the village needs to be aware that there is actually really something going to be missing. Where there's no ashram training, there's something going to be missing. And in other ways, we need to at least be aware of it and try to supplement it. So when we talk about a village raising children, that village used to be the Gurukula. And 20 years of training, 20 years of education. And what was that education based on? That education was really based on becoming a good person. It wasn't really so much the subject. It wasn't really so much some art, skill, or a profession that the children were meant to learn. But they're meant to actually be good people, and of course in a Vaishnava context, to actually become perfect Vaishnavas. How then they lead their lives, whether they then acquire some type of profession, that is a secondary issue, but the main thing is not what you are, but who you are. Who you are as a person. And if devotees are actually trained in the principles of goodness, then Krishna consciousness becomes very easy for them. But if they come in contact with passion and ignorance, which is what the outside world advertises, or more than that, forces down their throats, Krishna consciousness loses its attractive feature, and it becomes very difficult. So, Sattvam Sanjayate Jnanam, for the principle of Krishna consciousness, the basis of spiritual culture, I call it Varnashram, is to actually train children and everyone in the principles of goodness. Because when you're in goodness, Krishna consciousness comes naturally. In goodness, spiritual life becomes very attractive and it becomes very easy. But when one is struggling with the other modes and those become habitual and they become ingrained, then Krishna consciousness becomes a struggle. And this is actually the difference between children who are born to devotees and those who are not, is that if they have those good samskaras, then for them Krishna consciousness can be very natural, so long as they're insulated from the modes of passion and ignorance, and that they're actually reinforced with a mode of goodness. And that reinforcement has to come from the entire village, the entire devotee community. And where there isn't, and in most places there isn't, that type of ashram facility for reasons, then we need to be aware of both the destructive influence of the modes of passion and ignorance and the very constructive and reinforcing influence of the practices of the mode of goodness. Hare Krishna. There's others here to speak. Hare Krishna, thank you very much.